Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM.
UR is just with host. Today she features West Africa Poet. Both will be appearing at the Migrations Art Fair coming up at ERCO. And then at 11:30 on Art Focus, we hear the story of Crip Hop, the international movement of disabled artists, poets, musicians, and MCs. So don't go anywhere. We want to thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. And now, here's Stage and Studio.
I'm Dimae Roberts, Stage and Studio. You're listening to music by guitarist and singer Parfait Basile, who is about to debut his new EP of original songs. Basile weaves joyous guitar melodies with his intricate vocals. As an immigrant originally from West Africa, he often sings about his experiences and his reflections on issues of peace and about his daily life. We'll hear a profile of Basile in which he performs one of his songs on My Old Guitar. And in the latter part of the show, we'll feature Dilip Sunar, a Bhutanese refugee who writes about his journey from Bhutan to Nepal to Oregon. Both Basile and Sunar are featured in the Migrations Arts Fair on Saturday, January 31st at 2:30 to 4 p.m. in Southeast Portland. That's all part of the Migrations Arts Project funded by the Regional Arts and Culture Council. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio.
Something much more than fame, but yet could heal me from my shame. Something my pride couldn't claim, so I could keep up with this fight. So I could...
I'm Dimae Roberts. Parfait Basile moved around a lot when he was a youth in West Africa. He often felt ostracized as a foreigner with each new move. That's one of the reasons he turned to music as a creative way to express his frustrations with the outside world. When he came to America to go to college and pursue a music career, his music continued to reflect on immigrant life and dreams. I had a chance to talk with Parfait Basile in my office studio. I asked him about his early life in West Africa.
My dad used to work for an overseas company, and he himself is originally from Benin Republic, which is a very small country in West Africa. So that's where I was born, and so within the context of his work, he moved quite a bit on that West African coast. So we lived in Niger, also known as Niger, and then we lived in Senegal. So those are the two places where I mostly grew up in my early years before making the big move to the United States after graduating from high school.
And how many languages do you speak?
Well, you know, with so many years overseas now, I think that the number of languages are shrinking. But I will say roughly about three languages at this point. You know, English, French, and some Wolof, which is the most spoken language in Senegal.
So you were 13 and you moved around. When did you come to the U.S.?
So actually, I moved to the U.S. Age 19. After I graduated from high school, I wanted to come and study at the university. So that's when I decided to move to Portland, Oregon. And I've been here since.
I'm curious how one decides to move to Portland, Oregon from Benin.
So actually, that would have been from actually Senegal. So
how does one move from move to Portland, Oregon from Senegal?
So in my case, it was very, very interesting because my older brother was the pioneer in this whole move to the United States. He's 2 years older than me. So when he was the one initially who had that dream to, I really want to go to the USA to study. And we had a family friend who actually lived here in Portland, Oregon. He's a local artist, Mr. Wage, some might know him. Yes, so...
Oh, Baba Wage?
Exactly. And so he lived in Portland, and our families knew each other. So it made perfect sense for my older brother to come and have some connection here. And so after that, 2 years later, when I graduated, it also made natural sense that I would come because my older brother was here. And one thing after another, my younger brother also followed afterwards. And we have a little small community of us here in Portland.
I'm wondering, what was the reception like for you when you came here?
It was challenging in many ways. The weather was one thing, the gray and rainy weather in Portland. So that was one of the hardest things initially. And then you have, obviously, the culture, the humor, and being able to connect at first. But then gradually, it's been over 14 years now that I've been here, and gradually it's grown. It's grown on me. I consider Portland home now in many ways, having built some very good relationships and built my own family here as well. And then the second angle of that reception would be obviously the host nation. And, you know, I have had, all things considered, a very positive experience. Obviously, human experience is so wide in kind of different people you deal with. So there's been some challenges here and there, but for the most part, Portland has been a very, very welcoming place to come to.
Is there ever sort of an explanation you have to do, I guess, in the difference between from being an African national and then African American?
Totally. There's definitely a nuance there in just the experience altogether, having grown up in Africa, where, you know, issues of race and the very heavy history of, you know, discrimination wasn't my experience. It wasn't the narrative at the coffee table or at the dinner table. So just from that perspective, experiencing some of my encounters here in the United States were different than my counterpart, you know, African Americans. But it wasn't so much of an issue in terms of being able to connect with people. I think with African Americans, I've been able to, you know, build some very good relationships and being able to have some very rich conversations about what are some of those differences growing up in Africa and then versus growing up here. And there was a lot of learning on both ways, both directions, that some learning that has taken place, me getting some insight about what that is to have lived here in America with that history and what that does to one psyche and one outlook versus, you know, me coming from West Africa as well. But all of it is just very fascinating to see the human experience, how what you've gone through or what your ancestors have gone through, how that influences your outlook about life.
I don't know if you ever saw, but IRCO, the Immigrant and Refugee Community of Oregon organization, put out a study through the Africa House about the influence of gang activity on young African immigrants. And it's profound, actually, that there is so much pressure on young African immigrants to be part of, I guess, the gang culture.
You know, I haven't read that particular study report in itself, but certainly what I'm hearing through that and noticing, especially with a lot of the work that I do also with music, going to schools and trying to promote, you know, empathy, is that teenage years are very critical years in that you have so much peer pressure and you're trying to fit in. And within the context of race relations and being an immigrant and also wanting to fit in within the community, I can see the peer pressuring also happening, and depending on which socioeconomic context you are evolving in. So all of those are real problems that teenagers deal with and immigrants deal with when they're trying to integrate. And so it's really important to have strategies like the arts are one of them that I strongly believe in, finding different healthier outlets for young folks to be able to feel like they're worth something without needing to really go into some of that gang association.
Well, you work a lot with youth too through your project, your educational project. Would you tell us a little bit about that? Where you use your music for some of the things that we're talking about?
Absolutely. The project, which I have named the Colombe Project, Colombe standing for dove in French, and it's the idea of conveying the concept of peace project, because the dove is a worldwide known symbol of peace. And so what I do is I build on original songs that are written based on either personal narrative or real people's narrative of trying to fit in or having struggle with issues of integration or discrimination, you name it. And so writing songs around those characters, and then designing workshops where I share those songs, share the narrative piece, the story piece with the audience, and then asking them very specific and targeted questions to get them to think about how other people's experiences affect them emotionally, and also how they can relate to those stories. Because in the end, you know, our stories are very similar, even though different. The human experience is very similar. So that's, in a nutshell, what I do. I go into the classrooms, have those workshops, and engage into some very, very transformational conversation with students as they journey along someone else's story.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Demia Roberts talking with Parfait Basile, West African singer and musician. He'll be performing at the Migrations Arts Fair, a free event with performances, art show, and food on Saturday, January 31st at 2:30 to 4 p.m. The event is at IRCO, I-R-C-O. That's located at 10301 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. You can find out more about it on Facebook.com/migrationsarts and more about our guest at ParfaitOnline.com or stageandstudio.org, where I have all that info as well as this interview. I talked with Parfait Basile in my office studio, and he hadn't brought his guitar, but I asked him to play a song on my old guitar that I had in my youth. When you talk about the songs that you start off with, like personal songs for your Cologne project, mm-hmm. is that correct, Cologne?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Would you play one? I have my old guitar here, and you have so graciously tuned it up for me, which I probably won't ever use again. But if you don't mind playing something of something that you might use for your educational workshops. Project and your workshops.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think I will share a song that will also feature in an upcoming CD project of mine. This one is titled Freedom, and it's a song that I have painted to kind of reflect my vision of what freedom is, and that I use a lot for empowerment for youth. So here it goes.
A smile on her face takes the world by stride every day. She's got no worries, she got rid of her pride yesterday. Now she's on the right, no she ain't afraid. She's got no worries, nobody knows where she's going. No fears, no lies can stop her anyway. She uses her will to be free everywhere. She's got no worries, nobody knows where she's going. Freedom is her name, truth is her fame. No matter what goes on, no matter what goes on, no matter what goes on, she's the same. Freedom is her name, oh, truth is her theme. No matter what goes on, no matter what goes on, she's the same.
Thank you so much for playing my old guitar, my old Yamaha guitar. I know that you normally play on a better guitar, but thank you so much. That sounded lovely.
Well, thank you. Real pleasure.
So this is on your new album. Tell us about your new album.
So the new album is actually what you will call an extended play. So just about 6 songs on it. It's a mini album. And so it's a collection of original songs, of course, and just reflective of different stages in my experience having moved here to the United States. And there are songs that are in French, some of them are in English, and it's a really eclectic collection. I've worked with a local producer, Dominic Castillo, and I'm pretty excited, and I look forward to releasing it. It should be coming out in late February, and so we're just going through the final stages of mixing and mastering the songs, so I look forward to it.
That's very exciting. Are there any themes that you're grappling with? Because this was about freedom, so there's definitely that theme.
Correct. So the title of the album is Finally, and it's really the concept of coming out of, let's say, a tunnel into a new page in life. And so there are a lot of concepts about, you know, having struggled, but yet, you know, starting to see the horizon. So a lot of message of hope and a redemption in the album.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I certainly want to hear more of your music. If you were to talk about, you know, this whole project for Migrations has been about the immigrant experience and the refugee experience through the work of the artist, what stands out for an immigrant artist? What makes the challenges or what makes the mission of an immigrant artist? I mean, is there anything different between an immigrant artist and the work that's being done by, you know, in America, American-born artists? What would you think stands out for an immigrant artist?
You know, that's a very, very good question. And the first thing that comes to mind, Dime, would be I would see, first and foremost, as an artist, the shared mission as an artist, obviously, is I really believe in engaged art. So art that is being used as an agent for either social transformation or to denounce some of the ills of society. But as an immigrant, I think the added layer or dimension there is that you maybe serve also as a translator of cultures, just from the perspective of having seen and experienced something else and coming into a new context, you have a different perspective. And so being able to walk that line and speaking for both cultures and being also a voice for other realities that maybe the host nation doesn't know about or hasn't experienced, and vice versa, being able to be that translator for the host nation into people from your community that you've come from, so that there's a little bit more understanding. So being that bridge between cultures will be the main thing I would highlight as being the differentiating characteristic of an immigrant artist.
Is that your mission?
It definitely is. Using music as a way to bridge through differences and cultures and religions is really something I'm extremely passionate about. And so when I write songs, that's really something is on the forefront of my mind.
So do you have a day job too?
Yes, I do have a day job. Like most artists, I will say, you know, have something to bring bread to the table. But my day job is really related also to the Colomb project and being involved in education. And so trying to find ways to have an impact in education and bring in the music and the arts anytime I can through that.
Can I ask what you do?
Yes, I'm an educational consultant. So I work for a consulting organization, works with K-12 schools in helping them map out their curriculum and ensuring that they're aligned to any set of objectives that they're set out to do.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is a really great experience working in that environment. And so being able to have access to different schools' curricula and see what they're doing, especially in the social and emotional realm of things. We all have seen such a rise of bullying in society and in our schools. So being able to have a voice into school curriculum coordinators, you know, agenda in terms of what are they doing, how are they overlapping the core academic content into making sure that they're embedding and weaving in some social and emotional or value-based education. So that's something that is very, very exciting to do.
That is very exciting. So it really isn't a day job. It's something you feel passionate about, right?
A day job can definitely be something you can find some passion in. And obviously, you have to work hard to making it work, obviously. So I'm working at it. And there's definitely elements of it that are extremely rewarding, especially that piece of having a say on how, you know, maybe some of the direction in some schools will be going with regards to curriculum. So I'm really, really excited about that piece.
Well, I'm wondering, is there anything else that you want to say about your life as a musician or your music? You know, any encouraging words to young people, anything that you want to say?
I think I always like to go back to this line that I believe music and art in general is a reflection of self. It is very important to stay faithful and loyal to that what you're putting out as music and what you're putting out as art be a reflection of who you are or who you want to be as a human being. And so not only whether you are pursuing that as a passion right now, don't let it die, because if that's a strong part of who you are, find a way to continue doing it. And if it's in terms of finding yourself at a crossroad, what kind of music should I do? Should I do music that sells, or should I do music that really is engaged in terms of social issues and so forth? Again, go for what will best reflect what your calling is. Music is a reflection of self.
It's time I say goodbye. Bid farewell to this crippling pride. How I long for this ride. Free at last from this love for my life. Maybe now I'll thrive. As I live for the greater I am.
That was Parfait Bosselet, who will be performing West African guitar music at the Migrations Arts Fair this Saturday from 2:30 to 4 p.m. You can find out more about him and his new EP of songs at parfaitonline.com or on stageandstudio.org, where you can stream or download this interview.
Oh God, how hard.
I'm Dimi Roberts, Stage and Studio. About 2,500 Bhutanese refugees currently live in Oregon. What I learned from this Migrations Arts project that I've been working on is some Bhutanese history. It seems that in 1985, the King of Bhutan imposed a Citizenship Act, which enforced a single national culture for the entire country. It required Bhutanese who were culturally Nepalese to change their clothing, language, and cultural traditions. The government also tightened its citizenship laws. As a result, Bhutanese people of Nepali ethnicity, many of whom had lived there for several generations, were declared illegal immigrants, and nearly one-sixth of the population, or about 100,000 people, were expelled and ended up in refugee camps in Nepal. Dilip Sunar was a postman in Bhutan when he began experiencing harassment at work. And then he, his wife, and his 8 children began experiencing persecution by the army. His family became one of the 100,000 Bhutanese who were forced to take refuge in Nepal. Sunar and his family lived in little shacks without running water and much medical care until 2009. He took odd jobs and was hired to build a schoolhouse, but on the job he fell from the roof and broke his hip. Despite 4 surgeries, it's never healed right, and he still uses a walker to get around. One of the things that's given him joy is discovering how much he loves writing poetry, as he tells me through his interpreter, Suprina Koirala.
Aba kavita aba testai aba Bhutan ma baseko Nepal ma shibir ma baseko testai koi koi bela aba yaad auncha ani hun ta ma teti saro beshi lekha padha manche hoina aba mero kavita ma teti aba shaili grammar mileko chhu hudaina tai pani aba afno vedana
I'm not very educated, and I can't like go out and speak in English and stuff. So I just stay home and think about the days I've spent in Bhutan and Nepal, and I just like stay and write. But it's not my poetry is not perfect like other poets, but I kind of write because I'm passionate about it, and I like it makes me feel good when I write and remember those days.
Dilip Sunar writes mostly about the homeland, his house and lands he lost, and his life at the refugee camp. Here is a short poem charting Dilip Sunar's journey from the refugee camp to Oregon.
Bhutan desh bata prithak bhayeko.
I left Bhutan and went to Nepal.
Hami Bhutani Nepali haru sansar bharieko.
Us Bhutanese Nepalese are surrounded all over the country.
Bhutani Nepali हरुले भूटान देश बनाएको
Bhutanese Nepalese helped made the country the Bhutan
अन्तमा भूटानी प्रशासनले भूटानी नेपाली खेदेको
and later even the king and queen wanted us to escape from Bhutan
कसैको श्रीमान मारिए कसैको छोरा
some woman's husband were killed and some woman's and men's son were killed
कसैको छोरी बुहारी बलात्कृत भए
Others' daughter and daughter-in-laws were raped.
छोड्नु पर्यो सबै मायामारी घरबार.
We had to leave our birthplace, our home.
भागी आयौं भूटानी नेपाली नेपाल भूमिमा.
We left Bhutan and came to Nepal.
19 वर्ष बस्यौं पूर्वी नेपालको सात शिविरमा.
And lived in Nepal as a refugee in 7 different camps.
आफ्नो देश छोड्न लेखिएछ हाम्रो तकदीरमा
Our fate was written and we had to leave our own country and come to different country.
उराट लाग्यो नौलो लाग्यो हामीलाई नयाँ ठाउँमा
It was weird, it was very strange to live in someone else's country.
छाडी आयौं दुःख लाग्छ आफू जन्मेको गाउँ
I still feel very sad when I talk about leaving my country and going far away.
जे जस्तो भए पनि शिविरमा बस्यौं.
Whatever the hardship was, we stayed in a refugee camp as a refugee.
दुःख सुख भए पनि बाँच्नलाई कम्मर कस्यौं.
Even though it was very hard to live, we had courage and we lived as a refugee.
शिविरको बसाई सारै दुःख खट्यो.
Refugee life was very hard.
पानी चुन्थ्यो हावा चल्थ्यो छाना उडाइ लान्थ्यो
It was sometimes the wind used to take our roof away it was very windy the water used to drip in our huts
रहँदै बस्दै जाँदाखेरि अमेरिका आयौं
and we lived for about 19 years and finally came to America
दुख सुख र आनन्दसँग जीवन बिताउन पायौं
now the life is better and we are living here happily peaceful life in America
thank you
Dilip Sunar will be reading a poem with his interpreter, Suprina Koirala, at the Migrations Arts Fair, an event I'm hosting on Saturday, January 31st from 2:30 to 4 p.m. The event is free with performances, art show, and food. It features some of the artists this last year on stage and studio, including the Tongan Sewing Circle of women who sing beautiful songs in harmony. We also featured the poetry of Palestinian writer Mohammed Bader and Bhutanese writer Moti Rizal. Both of their poetry will be featured at the event, along with Lebanese writer Linda Dalal Sawaya. And of course, we'll have music by Parfait Basile, who will be performing West African guitar music. The Migrations Arts Fair is a free event on January 31st, 2:30 to 4 p.m. at the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, that's IRCO, I-R-C-O, located at 10301 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland, basically 103rd in Gleason. For more info, visit facebook.com/migrationsarts. You can also visit stageandstudio.org, where I have all this information, as well as a schedule of events. The Migrations Arts Project was funded by the Regional Arts and Culture Council. That's it for Station Studio. I'll have the show online later today at stationstudio.org, as well as the podcast on iTunes. You can like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. Let's go out with more music by Parfait Basile.
I'm worth much more than these things I was stressing out for. I am loved in Damascus. in the blood of the selfless Savior. Now I know I'm worth much more than these things I was stressing out for. I am loved and I'm a son.
Tune in Tuesday night at 6 p.m. to Out Loud, KVU's queer culture radio show.
Out Loud celebrates and serves the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and allied communities.
Out Loud features interviews with local and national community groups, authors, musical talent, and anyone from the queer community.
Connect with us online at kboo.fm/outloud. Tune in Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
...2015 Artist in Residence applications are available. The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, international artists and activists. Deadline for applications are February 13, 2015, 5 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/AIR2015.